Hey, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to the Fit Rich podcast. As you guys know, fit is the new rich. I've got a new guest on here today. Hope you guys enjoyed the last episode with Brock. It was amazing, good episode. But today, guys, I want to give you some mindset. You know, I don't want to keep telling you guys how to lose weight, what to do, what exercise to do. You know, it's boring. You know, we don't sort of speak about that on this show. So going to introduce you to an old friend of mine. Actually, the last time I actually seen Brian, we was actually standing in pants together. So yeah, that was sort of 6 years ago. But however, you know, doesn't sound as bad as it is.
I feel without context, Rob, a bit of context here. It's like we're just standing in underwear beside each other.
So I'm going to introduce him, Brian. Today he's over in Ireland. Brian's got a fantastic fitness over there. And we're going to delve into mindset today. I'm not going to leave you on a cliffhanger there, guys. I don't want to think that we were up to no good in those pants. But yeah, last time I seen Brian, we both actually competed in a physique competition in Las Vegas. 6 years ago, a lot's changed since then. It's good to finally catch up with Brian. But he's going to deliver some top-level, world-class knowledge today on mindset. I know a lot of you guys sort of struggle with that. And it's the sort of the key to get you to where you want to be. So Brian, thanks for coming on the show, buddy. How have you been?
Thanks so much. What's new? Mate, things have been awesome. Again, it's we were just chatting before we went on air. Like 6 years ago feels like a lifetime ago, but then it doesn't feel as long when we're catching up and chatting. I'm like, it doesn't feel like it was 6 years ago. We were there literally backstage at the Worlds in Vegas. Smashed that show, by the way. Yeah. And we were just having kind of chats and banters back and forth. So it's good to finally catch up after a long period of time, because we chat back and forth on Instagram, but it's good to have a proper catch up.
No, definitely, mate, definitely. And like I mentioned at the start, like, you know, we don't want to speak about the boring stuff of how to track macros and, you know, how to lose weight. And, you know, we want to go down a route today of what is it behind the sort of mindset of people sort of quitting or people starting? How do you sort of operate with your sort of clientele and the message you sort of deliver to people around mindset? Because I know you speak about this quite a lot. Take it away, buddy, like how you sort of operate.
Yeah, so it's one of the things that I learned, and you know this as well, Rob, from years of working with people one-to-one PT online, is there's the bread and butter basics, you know, pardon the pun, the calories, the macros, the boring stuff that, yes, you need to have a little bit of knowledge on basic caloric intake, etc. But the majority of people I was working with weren't falling off track because they weren't tracking calories, and they weren't falling off track because they didn't understand macros. They were falling off track because their mindset wasn't where it needed to be when it comes to the nutrition in particular, training as well, but largely nutrition. Because from my years, 10 years in the fitness industry, 80% of the people I've worked with, probably closer to 90 or 95, it's the diet side that they fall down on.
Yeah,
particularly with body composition change. Yeah, you know as well, it's exactly what the clientele you work with. And when I started to realize that if I could get the mindset element right, and that comes in lots of different shapes and forms, and we can unpack it as we go along, it's very important to get that set up from the front end. So I have a couple of little different things and tactics, and we can expand on them.
Lovely,
first thing is, and you know this better than anybody, you need to know what your goal is, what your target is, and you need to know why you're doing it. Like a very, very straightforward, simple way to approach it. Like if you want to lose 50 pounds, if you want to lose 100 pounds, you want to lose 10 pounds, or you just want to look better, feel more confident, drop body fat, build a bit of muscle, you need to have that as your goal, but you need to know why you're doing it. Because what happens to a lot of people is, yes, everyone wants to look better. Like everyone wants to look like Rob Sharp. Like, if you're talking like in terms of you can handpick how you look. In season. But like everybody wants to look a certain way, like a physique competitor, or else, they just want to look the best version of them. But not everyone's necessarily willing to put in the work. You know, the analogy I use is like everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And that's fine. Like if you don't want to put in the work, that's okay. But you need to take responsibility and ownership of that. But normally the reason that you struggle to stick to a nutritional plan or a training program is you don't know why you're doing it in the first place. So the first thing is get clear on the goal that you're looking to do and why you're doing it. So, some people it's to be healthier so that they can play with their kids or play with their nieces or nephews or whatever that is. For others, it's to look better so that you can go into a bar and feel you can pick up any girls in the bar or whatever it is. Everyone has different reasons, but you need to tap into that why. It's the carrot stick. You need to know why you're doing it. And it's really helpful then if you're working with a coach, working with Rob, working with me, working with another trainer, because if we know why you're here, you can reinforce that you're here for a reason. like nobody wants to stick to their nutritional plan in the beginning because it's difficult. Going from zero to one is really difficult with the dietary change. So you need to know why you're doing it in the first place. The other area where people really fell off, from my experience, is people tend to press the fuck it button when it comes to nutrition. So an example of this is, you know, you've seen it, Rob, we've all done it. Like, you know, where you're really good Monday to Friday and then you fall off, or, you know, in the case of Dubai, really good, you know, Monday to Saturday or Monday to Thursday, and then press the fuck it button on Friday and Saturday because it's that, you know, the weekend. And you're like, oh, you know, I've gone off track with my breakfast now. I'm just going to, you know, I'll reset and I'll go again on Sunday, or, you know, in the case of Ireland and the UK, Monday.
Yeah.
That pressing the fuck it button isn't very useful either, because what happens to people is, you know, that's where your basic calories come in. You know, if you're eating a deficit Monday to Thursday and then eating way too many calories on Friday and Saturday, that's going to be a surplus over the week and your fat levels will go up. So people press the fuck it button and go, right, I'm done. You know, it's the equivalent that I give is when you have one bad meal and you fall off track, it's like getting one flat tire and then slashing your other three tires on your car because one went flat. You know, exactly, it's pressing the fuck it button because you went off track for a day or a meal, etc. With that, then what I tell the people I work with, what I talk about in books, what I talk about on social media, on podcasts, is, you know, reset if you fall off track. You know, if you go off plan, like it happens to everybody in life. Something happens and you fall off track. You're on the road, you can't prepare your meals. You know, you're out at a restaurant and you want to have a dessert. All these things, when you go off plan, that's fine. It's not going to make or break you one meal, but you reset and you get back on track if that happens. You know, they're the main things when it comes to mindset. And there's so many other areas that we can potentially go into. But from my experience, with the amount of pitfalls that it can potentially fall down on, from shiny object syndrome on the new diet that promises the sun, moon, and the stars if you follow it, to, you know, the supplement that will burn X amount of calories, or, you know, what's worse than doing the rounds on the internet now is the ones that where you poop out the calories, where it literally stops the absorption. Like, literal pet peeve when I think of internet, I'm like, oh my god, how amazing the internet is, but how bad the internet is too. So there are things that can hold people back, but from my experience, it tends to be the not getting clear on the goal and why you're doing it, pressing the fuck it button too often, and then not resetting when you do, tend to be the three big ones that people fall down on.
I totally agree, buddy. And again, like, people, you know, even myself, even yourself, I mean, nobody in the world follows a nutrition plan 100%. Like, it's impossible. Like, when someone goes to me, Rob, I'm going to stick to 100%. I'm like, buddy, like, you know, just stop. You don't have to stick to 100%. You don't have to stick to 100%. If you just follow this 80% of the time, I will guarantee you will get results, right? Because if you follow something 100%, even when I was competing, right, in the last week or two, I would never follow 100%. And that's when you need to get down to like 3% body fat. We're just talking about, you know, ditching 5, 10, 15, 20 kilos, right? You don't have to stick to a fitness plan 100%. If you go over that mentality, you'll probably fail after 4 to 6 weeks, right? But if you
even get that far.
I mean, if you're educated, if you're guided, and if you give the right accountability, and you follow 80% of the time, you'll get results. And I think that's a good starting point for people to go into it thinking, right, okay, don't put too much pressure on myself. I haven't got to live like a hermit. I've not got to sort of take Tubbo out of me to a restaurant. You know, if I take my kids out, I can have a little bit of ice cream, or, you know, Mackie D's, you know, whatever. And I think if you go into it with that mind frame, from my experience personally and with these clients, they're the guys that get through to the end and they just, you know, cruise through it. Whether it takes 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, you know, by the end of it, if you've ditched up to, you know, some of my guys have ditched up to sort of 30 kilos in 16 weeks, right? It comes down very quick. So I think from my point of view, like, having that mindset going into the program, I think is very important, right? But I guess from your point of view, how do you get around saying, like you said, it's very true. Like, even for me, if you're going to start like a nutrition diet on the Monday, you're going to go all out on the Friday and Saturday, right? It's standard. Like,
yeah, the last supper. That's what I call it. I call it in the new book. I'm like, having your last supper, where you're literally like, you know, I'm not religious, and I know it's more different religions in the Middle East, but in terms of the analogy stands true, that I'm going to have all my favorite foods. I'm going to go to Mackie D's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because I started diet on Monday. And it's just, it's not a useful approach. Like one of the, I've said this to so many clients, Rob, because when I work with people in programs, I put them into a group and normally people will send up, and they've stopped doing this now because I mentioned it on so many podcasts, but they would put up pictures of like three tubs of Ben and Jerry's and Mac and D's and whatever it is. And they're like, okay, diet starts Monday. And I would put under every single one of the comments I would put in on the group, I'd be like, okay, what's happened to the food on Monday? I was like, have they decided that they're not going to sell McDonald's anymore because you decided you want to lose weight? You know, and they're like, no, but I'm just not going to eat it. And I'm like, who said you couldn't eat it? I'm like, yeah, the danger is really in the dose. I'm like, yes, don't eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But like, you know, once a week into your plan as a free meal, it's probably not going to do you that much damage. And if anything, it'll increase your adherence. And that's a really funny one because we've all done it. Like as competitors, I can't speak for you, Rob, but I was really bad for that. Like right before I go into competition prep, I would literally like, I've been in Jerry's for breakfast. Like nobody should be eating Ben and Jerry's for breakfast. But I was literally like, right, I'm going to have my Ben and Jerry's for breakfast now. I'll start dieting tomorrow. I'll start on Monday. And then I would prep for the show with that all or nothing mindset. But we all do it in daily. You don't have to be a competitor to do this. We all do it. And it's just being mindful that those foods aren't going anywhere. It's rewiring your relationship with them. Like there's no good or bad foods, especially when it comes to nutrition for weight loss and fat loss. Like context is key. Like a piece of broccoli is not going to save you from a burning building, and a bar of chocolate is not going to stab you down a back alley. Like they're not good. Food has no morals. It's about yes, some foods are high calorie that probably won't support you if they're low nutrient, high calorie, i.e. Mac-E-D's. And there's other foods that are, you know, low calorie, high nutrient, broccoli. But it depends on the context. Like one chocolate bar a day or a couple of pints of beer or whatever it is that you enjoy factored into your plan isn't going to make or break you, particularly if you're controlling those calories in some capacity. You don't have to calculate everything to a T, but your coach will do that for you, or you can do it yourself. Yeah. And having a little bit of basic understanding around that breaks down that all or nothing mindset, which is effectively what happens with that Last Supper, which just isn't very helpful, regardless of what your goal is, building muscle, losing body fat, losing weight, etc. It's just rewiring your mindset around that, because it at least sets you up on the right foot so that you can achieve what you want to achieve without, you know, starting with, you know, figuratively running a marathon, starting on one leg. Like that's what you do when you press the fuck it button right before you start a diet. I'm like, arm yourself with the things that you're at starting line, figuratively in the best shape possible in terms of your mindset, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, totally. I guess what a lot of people are probably wondering and what they struggle with is, let's say you get to the weekend, and this is what a lot of people do, I know, because I used to do it. You get to like a Friday afternoon, right? And you go out and you do have a beer, You have a you know, a juicy meal, but then you say to yourself, oh fuck it, I'll just as well finish the weekend off and just well carry through, and I can just start again Monday. Like, as we know, those 2 days are detrimental to the rest of your week and the work that you've done previously, right? So it's not just, okay, I'll just finish this week off and carry on as I sort of started. How do you sort of flick that mindset of saying, right, okay, today I'll, you know, hold my hands up, doesn't matter. Had my meal, had my beer. How do you get back on track the next day and forget about that? I think that's what a lot of people struggle with, right?
It's a great question. I think guilt and shame around food is a really big thing that people need to get to the root cause of when it comes to healing a relationship with food. I definitely think the ability to not separate food into good and bad categories, like I said, helps that, where you go off plan and you're like, okay, I went off plan, that's fine. But sometimes, just to kind of stays in topic with, you know, the fitness being the rich, the analogy I use with clients who struggle with this is I talk about, you know, saving money. So let's say, for example, I know it's dirhams in Dubai, but I'll keep it with pounds for now and euros for now, just for the sake of easiness. But let's say, for example, you're saving, you know, you earn 500 euro a week. That's your income. And you're saving 400 euro Monday to Friday, but you're blowing 200 euro at the weekend on a night out. Your bank account doesn't care how much you saved Monday to Friday. It just knows at the end of the week, you're down because you spent too much money. That's how calories basically work with the weekend, where you press the fuck a button and go off plan.
Yeah,
and I don't have a problem with people doing that. Like my issue with any clients I work with or people I work with is, like, if you go off plan, that's cool. Just realign your expectations. I'm like, you're probably not going to reduce body fat this week if you press the fuck it button on Saturday and just went on a tear for a weekend. That's cool. We reset and we get back on track again. Like, the short-term thinking of diets and nutrition, which the fitness industry is prevalent for this. You know this, Rob, better than anybody. And I love your approach because it's taking a long-term sustainable approach. That's why your clients have such great success. But that short-term thinking that gets brought in through the fitness industry, that gets wired down and kind of filtered down to clients or potential clients or people who are just looking to lose weight and lose body fat online, makes them think that if they fall off track for a weekend, it's like, well, everything's gone now. Shit, what do I do? And they have all this guilt and shame around food. I'm like, look, you fell off track for a week. You're not on a 6-week plan. Like if you're dieting or following a nutritional strategy the right way, and my definition of that is a nutritional plan that's in alignment with your goals, that includes foods that you enjoy, and is one that you can stick to and adhere to over the long term. Like if you have a nutritional plan that falls into that, those daily fluctuations aren't going to matter that much. It's very similar to money. Like you can earn X amount every single day, and you'll have days where you'll have more money coming in because, you know, maybe you made more sales or you got an inheritance or whatever. And there's days when you'll earn less, holidays, a pandemic, etc. But it more or less balances out over the year to what you would normally have. And your weight loss and your fat loss and your physical fitness progression is similar. Like you need to take a whole wide angle view of it and realize that those couple of days don't offset you. This happens at Christmas. Like I see this in Ireland and UK really bad at Christmas and holidays. I know it's the equivalent in Dubai to probably be Ramadan, maybe closer to it. But where people are like, oh my God, I pressed the fucking button for 2 weeks. What am I going to do? I'm like, there's 52 weeks in the year. I was like, you've fallen off for two of those weeks. I was like, you'll be fine. Reset and get back on plan. Like, and then people are like, oh yeah, that does make sense. I'm like, but we get so caught up in it when it's happening that if you just take a step back and realize that actually there's only so much damage you could do in a day or two anyway. Now, I'm not saying to consistently fall off track. That's feedback that the plan you're following isn't right for you. You know, you can make those adjustments. There's loads of tactics. You can bank calories and save them for the weekend. You can, you know, work your workouts in so your caloric expenditure is higher on those days. You're training. There's loads of tactics you can use. But that's just dependent on the person. Like it's not about the strategy is just how do you maintain that deficit over a period of time with a plan that you can stick to. Whatever tactics help support that, that's what you do. But if you don't have your mindset right on the front end and you have all this guilt and shame around food, like that's rewiring your relationship with nutrition in general. Normally it's just a little bit of miseducation. Like the fitness industry, I'm victim of this as well, Rob. But back when I was competing, I would definitely demonize foods. Like, but I was the same person who was chicken and broccoli and rice Monday to Friday, and then Mickey D's and several McFlurries on a Saturday. I'm like, balance. I'm like, that's balance for me. I'm like, you put your fucking head in the oven and your feet in the freezer, you're technically balanced in your temperature. But like, it's the extremes and the opposite end of the spectrum, which isn't useful either. But there's a lot of people in the fitness industry who still do that. And my advice would be that you follow people who don't promote that message, because that just reinforces the guilt and shame when you fall off track. And you have to take a little bit of ownership here to the podcast you're listening to, the profiles you follow online, the advice you're getting. Because if you don't, that's going to become your thinking. And then you have this guilt and you have the shame when you go off plan. And that's not useful for anybody. Like, you're not a bad person because you ate at McDonald's. You're not. You're not a bad person because you went off your plan. It happens with everybody in life. You know, yes, you realign your expectations. You might not reduce body fat this week, but that's cool. You reset and you go again for the following week.
No, that's perfect, man. I love the analogies thrown in there as well. So I guess that's a lot on food. So I mean, with training, so for example, like a lot of people will say, like, what's the date today? 15th, right? So it's like, even last week, let's say this 7th of December, what you'll get this time of the year is a lot of people saying, oh, I'm going to start in January, or, you know, I'm going to commit in January. Now, that's obviously 3 weeks away, right? So someone like myself and someone like you, I mean, I don't think I've ever said that, probably for about 10 years. I've probably... You know, gym is, you know, what I do, go to the gym, you know, I don't even think nothing of it, right? It's just a routine, a habit. And if I don't go to the gym, then I do more damage than not going if I sort of do, right? Because I love it. So, I mean, how do you get in the mindset of thinking that way? How do you get in the mindset of saying, right, it's not a chore, you know, I go to the gym, it's just what I do. It's just like when I go to work, I go to the gym. Like, how do you get into that mindset? Like,
it's a great question. I'm going to take it from two approaches, Rob, because you've kind of given me a nice little segue for two different areas to cover here. One is that fitness can become a habit, and generally nobody likes it in the beginning. Like any myself, definitely, and I don't want to put words in other people's mouths, but most people don't love fitness at the very, very start of their journey because it's difficult. You're sore, weights are heavy, running is hard, but we tend to forget. Once we get to the point where we love it now, where I'm in the same bracket as you, yeah. I love working out and we'll do it to the day I die. But you get past a certain tipping point where you start to feel the benefits and you start to like it. But when people are at the start of their journey, they do it for another reason. So they normally have to anchor that other reason. They want to look better. They want to feel more confident. They want to, you know, fit into a favorite suit or whatever it is. So they're anchoring something else that's keeping them going. But, you know, the University of London says it takes 66 days to form a new habit. So you have to give it that runway of time anyway before it even becomes automatic. But the other thing I'll say here is it's what I call the myth of Magic Monday. And I think the myth of Magic Monday is the New Year's coming into New Year's is that on fucking steroids. Like it's us starting the new year, you know, and the analogy I use, and I talk about this in the new book, that when you come in, the example I use, so if somebody says, right, Rob, there's, you know, I'm not sure what the equivalent of Durham is, but let's say 1 million Durham buried in your backyard and it's legit there. It's on your property. It belongs to you because it's on your property. All I'm doing is making you aware of it. And we're, you know, Tuesday now. Would you wait until Monday to dig that up? You fucking wouldn't. You'd grab a shovel and you'd go and you'd be digging it straight away. But with nutrition and with diet and with training, we don't apply that. We go, all right, cool. I'll wait and I'll do it on Monday. Or, oh, I wait until January. It's like, no, if you set the goal and you know why you want to do it and you have a big enough reason for doing it, you start now. Also, when motivation is high, it's the best time to start. Now, I'm also a subscriber that motivation is horseshit for long-term results. It's about what you do consistently every day. Tell me what you do every day, and I'll tell you where you'll be in a year. You know, that's the habit that you talked about earlier. But motivation definitely does play a role, because if you decided that, well, it's the 15th of December now, I actually really want to get in shape, but I'll wait until the new year. I'm like, you're feeling motivated now. You're listening to this podcast and you're like, yeah, fuck it. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling good. You know, Rob has me hyped up. Brian has me hyped up. I'm good. You need to take advantage of that motivation while it's high and while it's hot. And the analogy I use is my new book comes out in January. So The Keen Edge. This is my third book and I struggle writing. Like, I love podcasts. I love speaking, my podcast, creating videos. I can speak, you know, I used to be a teacher. So I have that kind of background of breaking down ideas in kind of complicated ideas into simpler forms, or at least I like to think I do.
Yeah.
Writing, I struggle with. Although I love having written and I love when books are completed, I struggle in the writing process. And one of my ways around that is the days I feel motivated or feel inspired, when sometimes sections just come flowing out of me. If it's on a run, if it's in the middle of a workout, assuming I'm not training for a race or an event, if I'm standing in line at an airport and inspiration hits me, I write everything down on the notes on my phone. So then when I go to write that chapter at a designated time, I'm not staring at a blank screen. And that's taking advantage of motivated states. So you're not looking at your fitness to nutritional equivalent of a blank screen where you're waiting until Monday when you might not feel fucking motivated on Monday and you might not feel motivated in the new year. Feel motivated now. So if you get up and moving, you're going to give yourself a better chance of success, because going from 0 to 1 figuratively is more difficult than going from 1 to 10. Starting anything new is always the most difficult part. So if you can do that now when you're feeling inspired and you're feeling motivated, you're going to be halfway to where you want to go, because you're just trying to build it in consistently then after that. And if you wait another 3 weeks and you're talking 66 days to form a new habit and you start working, or another 2 weeks, apologies, to the new year, you're 2 weeks ahead of if you started now than if you waited until January, you know. Yeah. And you don't even have to be perfect. Like, just making small consequential changes can lead to big results for people, where you're making slightly more conscious food choices, or you've gone from not training in the gym at all to training twice a week, or you're going from 3 times a week to 4 times a week. Those small changes add up and they get you moving. So if you're feeling motivated now, start, like, take advantage of that. Don't fall for the myth of Magic Monday or the myth of the new year, because if you get up and running, you're going to get out of that 0 to 1. You're not going to be figuratively looking at a blank screen in terms of Monday coming around or New Year coming around, and you're not feeling very motivated because you pressed the fuck it button at Christmas. That's going to give you more of an advantage when it comes to setting yourself up on the right foot. So that's what I would tell people to look into and consider, because it can be really helpful.
Yeah, that's perfect. But that's beautiful. Because what I found is actually, from, you know, previous clients and stuff, is the guys that do that, are the guys that always yo-yo diet, right? Do you find that? The guys always think, yeah, I'll start it at the end of the year or after the holidays or after Christmas. These are always the guys that are spinning their wheels for 3, 5, 10 years, yeah? And if you're not going to start now, don't think of it as, oh, it's only 6 training sessions I'm going to miss now, and it's nothing. I'm not going to lose weight in 6 sessions. But you're not chasing those 6 sessions. You're after that habit, aren't you? That 2 weeks, it's not the training session. It's the habit you're going to get into that 2 weeks, so you can implement for the rest of the year. That's where you need to sort of, that's what you need to look at. It's not the training sessions, because let's be honest, you're not going to get anywhere really in 6 sessions, but it's just getting into that habit. It's making you enjoy it, learning about the gym. Because if you honestly don't enjoy training, then I don't know, Brian, you might have another answer, but if you don't enjoy training, then, you know, you're in a bit of trouble, aren't you, really? Because, yeah,
I'll jump on that. Like, it depends on the goal. I have people I work with, Rob, who never step foot in a gym or never do any workouts. We just focus on things like a step count and standing more, standing desks, etc. Now, it's goal dependent. So if I'm working with an athlete, or I'm working with somebody who wants to build muscle or change body composition dramatically, I'm like, look, you need some form of resistance training in there to do that.
Yeah, sure, of course.
For someone that wants to lose body fat, they don't need it. Now, it massively helps. You know this, Rob, more than anybody. Like, lifting weights, doing resistance training, it'll increase your metabolic rate. So I give the analogy I use, it's like making money while you sleep. When you do resistance training, you increase your metabolic rate, so you burn calories while you rest. So it's a huge advantage on a fat loss journey to do it, but it's not an essential requirement. You don't have to, because by burning more calories, by dropping into a deficit, focusing on a step count, moving more through the day, you can get a lot of fat reduction with that alone. Now, if you like training, then brilliant, you know, even better, because then you're just experimenting with what you want to do. And I also tell people to experiment with things. Like, yes, I love lifting weights. You know, I love CrossFit style workouts. I like high intensity workouts, but you can go for a hike. You can go for an intense walk, a power walk. You can cycle, you can swim, you can play five-a-side football or basketball. You can play dodgeball. Yeah. There's different ways. Like, if you can find an exercise regimen, you know, if there's a sweet spot with a lot of people, that if they can find the exercise regimen that is keeping them active, that doesn't feel like exercise, they're onto a massive winner. Tennis is a big one here. Sports is a big one here for people. It's exercising and moving, but doesn't really feel like exercising and moving. So you're using that to potentially support yourself on a fat loss journey. So I do think that's important. Another point you made there as well that I want to kind of jump in on with training, and I've been definitely a victim of this, of the balls to the wall, you know, leaving it all in the gym. Like, that's how I like to work out. And probably one of my biggest flaws as a one-to-one coach before I moved online, even though I addressed it before I moved online, was I would do that with my clients as well. And not everybody likes to do that. Some people love to smash a workout. Others, they do it just because they want to hit an end goal. And for people listening, you need to have a self-awareness on where you fall on that spectrum, because you're going to find that a plan that's very high intensity, that really challenges you, if you enjoy that kind of plan, is going to be something that you can build into your daily routine. Now, you also have to have some form of deloads and tapering down with those kind of workouts. But some people will find great success with this, i.e. CrossFitters. Some people will go from 0 to 1 with fitness and jump into CrossFit and they love the challenge.
Yeah.
Others need to find an alternative. So focusing on a step count, focusing on moving more, maybe switching to a standing desk. All of these small things add up consistently over time if you stick with them. And you need to know where you fall on that spectrum when it comes to training, because it's too easy to fall into a camp of, I don't like it, I'm not going to do it, or I want to be smashed all the time. And what normally happens there is people are like, well, I don't need to look at nutrition, I'm training really hard, and then they're wondering why they don't see the results. So there's downsides to both, and people fall anywhere between those spectrums. So it's important to ask the question, well, do I like training? What do I like? And then you make your nutrition adjustments with it. Like, one of the reasons, and I'm not sure what it's like with you, Rob, I can't design a training program without context of someone's nutrition, and I can't design a nutritional plan without context of somebody's training. Yeah, I'm like, they are so interconnected, because you're going to have a higher calorie intake for someone who's training harder. You're going to have a lower calorie intake, obviously, for somebody who doesn't want to work out. But you can get similar results, particularly with fat loss change, for most people. You're just, you know, pulling on one lever and pulling on one string over here to make the adjustments. So a lot of people will think that I need to just focus on training hard and that will do. For some, it might, but most, it doesn't. And others will think, well, I'm not going to train. I'm just not going to do it at all. Then they have to put more of a focus on the nutrition, dropping those calories slightly lower, you know, maybe pressing and not having as many free meals during the week or whatever it is you want to look at it. So you're just applying the context based on the individual. But I think it's important for people listening to know where they fall on the spectrum, because your strategy is going to be different. What I do, what you do, Rob, what somebody else does is going to be completely different based on the context. So you're not just taking what I say, what you say, what someone else says online and applying it to you without any context, because that's not useful either. And that's kind of the information overload that can happen with the internet. It's one of the downsides of Instagram and loads of podcasts and Facebook and YouTube and TikTok, people offering advice that might not necessarily be that useful for them. So you need to be able to navigate through what's useful. I think that's why you as a coach, it works so well, Rob, because you're filtering it for people, hence why they're getting great results with it. But it's also useful for people who aren't working with you, aren't working with me, aren't working with professionals, that they're able to do that little bit of reflection and self-awareness themselves, so that they at least don't fall off track when they get started.
Yeah, perfect, buddy. And yeah, the best analogy, I'm going to use this actually, I love that. Building muscle and increasing your metabolic rate is like earning money while you're sleeping, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's a good one, buddy. So basically, just to cap off what you said, so delve into it a bit more. So what you were saying, basically, you need to run your own race, right? Mm. If you're following someone who's doing this, or this guy lost 30 pounds or 30 kilos, everybody's entering at a different level point, right? You get one guy that might go in, he might have no kids, he might have a lot of time. You get one guy going in exactly the same looking, he might have three kids, he might be an executive, stressed out of his eyeballs. You know, everybody's coming into this different starting points. I think that is the main benefit of having a coach. Personally, it's not designing a fancy fucking nutrition guide or a fancy, you know, workout. It's knowing where they're coming in at, you know, what makes them tick. And how, you know, adhere them how to, they can follow through for the 90 days, right? So, you know, if you're sort of listening, you know, don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Just sort of run your own race, start where you need to be. As long as you get to where you want to be, it doesn't really matter how you get there. Like you said, if you want to train 5 days, 3 days, eat low calories, high calories, at the end of the day, if you get there, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah.
But I've thoroughly enjoyed this session, buddy. As you guys know, I keep these to 30 minutes, and Brian just delivered pretty much, you know, 25 minutes of absolute gold there. So I'm gonna have to listen back to that actually, buddy. It's a very good podcast. But just to sort of cap it off, I'm intrigued about your book actually. When is it out?
6th of January. So 6th of January and 1st of February on audio. So it'll be audiobook available from the 1st of February as well. But all the pre-orders are available now, and it'll be available in all the bookstores, etc. I'm not sure about the Middle East bookstores, how that works, but all the bookstores on this side of the world.
Well, audio, it'll be on audio, won't it?
Amazon.com. I have got people pre-ordering from the Middle East. Because I've done a few talks in Dubai, etc. So people have been ordering it from there. So really excited for it. Again, a lot of it is just nutrition, mindset, as we talked about here. Like I've given loads of examples. Yeah. It's just all my philosophy kind of put into that to help people with that angle. As you said, books that are calorie and macro driven, like, yes, they're important to know, but there's so much else that holds people back that I wanted to speak about. I wasn't going to write a calorie book or a macro book. I needed to cover from an angle that I thought would serve people and help people. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, any donkey can write a book about how to track your macros, right? I mean, I think that's been said a billion times, but I think that what's more important these days is figuring out why you need to start, how you need to sort of carry on, and how to turn it into a lifestyle, right? So I will plug that link in the show notes. What's your Instagram? Remind me, what's your Instagram handle?
So it's the underscores that kill people. It's Brian_Keane_fitness on Instagram, and the Brian Keane podcast in for people who like podcasts.
Yeah, that's actually where I sort of see most of your content, actually, the podcast. Golden. So head over to Brian's podcast. I've posted a link in the description to his book, because as you can hear, guys, at the last 25 minutes, imagine reading a full book. It'd be outstanding. But again, guys, thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you're going to the website on this, choose which podcast stream you're watching it from. Make sure you subscribe, like, and, you know, leave a comment, guys, and I will send you a free little gift whoever leaves a comment. And it's coming up to obviously the end of the year. We spoke about, you know, you need to start now, not in January. But however, guys, the 9-10F program is literally, you know, it's filling up already for January. So if you want to lose up to sort of 20, 25 kilos in 90 days, drop me a message in my Instagram. Drop me a message with the word podcast so I know where you guys come from. We'll have a general conversation to see if you're a good fit for the program. And, you know, who knows, we might get you signed up to start that New Year's resolution. But again, cheers, Brian. Cheers for the podcast. And
thank you so much.
Cheerio, buddy.
Catch you soon, brother.